go and go on your way. For they will not rest until you do evil. They are robbed of sleep until they make someone stumble. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. So in the second speech, the father talks about the two ways, the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked. Now the third speech. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to one's own body. But above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So I've chosen for this today's theme as guard your heart. Keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths of your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we ask for your spirit to be with us. Let our hearts be indeed a good soil so that your words, your instructions may be in us, so that wisdom may bloom in our lives. And all this we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Peace be with you, brothers and sisters. Now, in the ancient Jewish tradition, it is the father, or maybe sometimes the mother, but often the context here is that it's the father who is responsible for giving this message of Proverbs 1-9 to the son or daughter, all right? So if you have been paying attention to all the previous sermons, Proverbs 1, 2, and today 3 and 4, you will notice that all of these words are very heartfelt, all right? And they aim to persuade. You will notice that the father has been, you know, speaking quite emotionally to the child. Why is this so? Because the father, of course, knows the danger of folly. He knows that, you know, this other path is something that he hopes the son will never have to go. And this is why in Proverbs 1-9, we see this very sincere appeal to ask the son to stay on the path of wisdom. Don't go the other side. Stay here. Make sure you're always on this wisdom and don't go to folly. Now, I'm not sure how many of the parents out there, after listening to this series from Proverbs 1, 2, 3, and 4, how many of you feel very inspired to, you know, do the same? Oh, yes, very good. After listening to this, I'm going to talk to my child and so on. If you are like me, then you all of us know how important is this moral education. And we know how much, you know, the value of fulfilling life. And we wish that, yes, we hope that, you know, our child go on this path. But it must also be said that this thing about, whether it's about moral education, ethics, you know, things like this, it often gets neglected in the hustle and bustle of life, isn't it? Whether, you know, what is always the first thing that you will talk to about your child? Maybe it's schoolwork. Maybe it's talking about the next appointment that you have to rush to. Maybe it's asking, you know, what should we eat for lunch or dinner and so on. And if you think about it, sometimes, and I hope not, that the moment when it comes, you know, that finally we have this time to talk about such things, whether it's ethics, moral education, sometimes when the moment arrives, it is usually at a moment of crisis, you know. And you must admit that that is really the least ideal situation to talk about this conversation, you know. When you have a problem, then you talk about it. Oh, that is the worst time to talk about it. And unfortunately for some of us, maybe you might be thinking, you know, some of us with teenage or children that maybe is already adults, you know, you might be thinking to yourself, is it too late? Is it too late to actually talk to my child about, you know, about these things. And maybe for some of you, your child might be thinking that all along my words now seems like nagging to him already. Can I still talk to him about these things? And you might, some might say, well, if you ask me, I'm not exactly a paragon of wisdom. How am I to make this message, you know, to talk about fulfilling life of wisdom, when I myself have not lived such a life? I don't consider myself, you know, having lived a life of wisdom. How do I tell my child to live a life of wisdom? Now, I raise all these concerns because, first of all, I think such concerns are fair. And sometimes you don't know when, or you don't even know how to start. Some of us might think that maybe we have missed the boat. And I hope today this sermon is a time that we can address some of these concerns. So what we'll do is let's first talk about the ideal state, all right? Let's talk about the ideal state in which ancient Jewish parenting would do. What is the ideal thing that they would do? Let's look at the perfect model first. Of course, not every Jew, not every parent will do this, but ideally, what should be the ideal state? And I hopefully first, when I talk about this ideal state, maybe it can be a source of inspiration to all who are newlywed. Like recently, we just had a wedding. Maybe those who are newlywed will say, okay, first, let me listen to this first. Or maybe some of us are young parents. Lately, a lot of parents have been, young couples have been having children. So maybe let this be a source of inspiration. But now that I think about it, actually, it would also be very meaningful to young grandparents. Maybe you just have a grandchild lately. Our Jubilee has been quite multiplying. So, now that I think about it, maybe grandparents might be the ideal person to, you know, play this role of giving this message of Proverbs 1-9. Why? Because as they mature, they will appreciate the value of Proverbs more, and with greater maturity, they can say these things with maybe with life examples, having gone through so much in life. So let's talk about the ideal state. What Jewish wisdom teaching will first start after weaning. After weaning, they will start already. And when is that? In the ancient days, that will be about 3 to 4 years old. So you might be thinking, wow, you know, from 3 to 4 years old, the parent will start to, you know, give this wisdom teaching. Why so early? The Jews believe that it is the heart that controls all speech and action. It is the heart that controls this. And so because it's the heart that controls, what matters is what you put into the heart. If the heart contains good things, then the heart will lead you towards good decisions and a good life. Similarly, if all your heart is full of evil thoughts, then the heart will lead you towards death. So as parents, of course, then the Jews will put the wisdom of Proverbs into the hearts of their child. Why? Because they want the best things into the heart to be in the hearts of their children. You can imagine that before the Proverbs were being collected, you know, and compiled by King Solomon, before those days, such wisdom of the Proverbs, they will be conveyed verbally from through memory, from generations to generation, father to child, father to child, father to child. And so I would like to think of this Proverbs as really like the first love of the child. Why? Because they were first put lovingly into the children's heart by the parents, right? So it's these words of wisdom, these Proverbs were like the child's first love. Of course, when the child grows up in life, the child will encounter more people influenced by life's events. They will maybe read or encounter foreign literature. Other words will attend to come to, you know, infiltrate the heart. But at the very least, for the ancient Jews, these Proverbs were preset, you can say, you know, pre-programmed to be the first love of the child. Which means that as long as the child can put up a good defense, all right, the wisdom, which is the first love, is there to stay in the heart. Now, my message today in Proverbs chapter 4 is about this defense. How do you guard your heart? The father tells the son, you know, in the very first speech, that there is this tradition of passing on these proverbs, passing on these instructions, this teaching from generation to generation. The father tells the son that, hey, I'm passing on these words to you from your grandfather. My father passed them to me, and now I pass them to you. And you can imagine these words coming from generations before him. And the father urges the son to therefore defend this, put up a good defense. Quoting directly from his own father, you notice that the father uses the word get 4 times in our passage. He says, get wisdom, get understanding. Get wisdom, get understanding. The word, the Hebrew word for get is actually a word that is synonymous with purchase, okay? So it's a bit like, you know, getting something, buying something. And so immediately we will wonder, we will say, isn't the Proverbs already given to the child? Why does the child still need to get? What's there to get? So if you remember this analogy of the first love, which I think is quite suitable, just because there is a relationship that begins from childhood, it doesn't mean that this relationship will last forever. Make sense to you? Chinese, we say, 青梅竹马. Doesn't mean 青梅竹马, it means stay with you forever, you know. So, and just because you think that you know this person very well from young, it doesn't mean that you actually really know him or her, correct? So, you should not assume familiarity with true understanding. This is the key. So, from words of Proverbs to wisdom to understanding, we realize that, there is actually a journey, or you can say there's actually a distance. Just because there's familiarity doesn't mean there is true understanding. So, the father said, no, you have to get. You have to get wisdom. You have to get understanding. You have to cherish her. You have to do everything that is necessary in order that she belongs to you. In fact, the father says, you must give it your all. Give it your all so that she belongs to you. You will only know that these words of Proverbs becomes your own wisdom. You will only know that this person, this first love, stays with you for good when she reciprocates by honoring you, by protecting you. Then you know, yes, she belongs to you. In short, the father is the one that puts the Proverbs into the heart of the son. But in Proverbs 4, we see it is for the son to treasure, for the son to really make an effort until these words truly become wisdom in his own life. So as I was thinking about this process, as I was, you know, I spoke on Proverbs 2 and today I spoke on Proverbs 4, as I was researching, preparing this message today, I tried to reconstruct my own journey of wisdom. As I was thinking, you know, guard your heart, guard your heart. What about myself? So I tried to think back on my days of childhood to today. So sharing from my own life, the most distinct proverbs that I can remember from my own father were 2 Chinese proverbs. One is 先苦后甜, which means bitter first, sweet later. And the other proverbs that I remember from my father is 吃得苦中苦,方为人上人, which means that the one who can take the most bitter will be the one that will rise above other people. Something like that, all right? Both, I don't know why both were about bitterness. Okay, anyway. So these are the 2 proverbs that I remember the most from my own father. Now, even though these two were Chinese proverbs, they are not biblical proverbs. But actually, if you read the proverbs, you realize, hey, they do share many common values from many of the proverbs, because many of the proverbs you will come to see talks about hard work, talks about diligence. So it's not that different from the biblical proverbs, at least the ones on hard work and diligence. Now, why did my father do this, leaving these two Chinese proverbs with me? I guess what my father wants to do, just like an ancient Jewish parent, my father wants to put this wisdom of grit into my heart. He thinks, okay, this is important, you know, put it into my son's heart when he's young. Something like that. And since I still remember these two proverbs till this day, I guess you can say that these two Chinese proverbs were like the first love of my own heart. And I imagine that if I have guarded this first love very well, guarded my heart well, then, you know, I should have been someone who is studious in my studies, serious in all my endeavors, you know, always bitter first, sweet later. Someone who is unafraid of tough challenges, powering through the difficulties of life. So as I reflected on myself, as I self-examined, did I guard my heart well? This is the question I asked myself. Now in Proverbs 4, the father used words like, you know, do not turn away, you know, go on the straight path, you know, avoid and turn from all the other ways. Most of all, he said, let your eyes look straight ahead, fix your gaze directly before you, do not turn to the left, do not turn to the right. So if you were to ask me, what does it mean to guard your heart? I would say that, if in one word, it means undistracted. Undistracted. So I asked myself, did I guard my heart well? Because guarding your heart is a process of staying focused and avoiding all the temptations of deviation. Be undistracted. That's at least how I will interpret it. And as I look back in my life, in retrospect, I don't think I've guarded my heart well. I still remember distinctly in primary school, at least primary 1 to primary 3, I was always fighting with other boys. I go to the school, I will fight. I know it's a bit strange, but that's my life. This one is definitely true, which is in secondary school, I was always copying homework. I would go, who finished already? Quick, copy, let me copy. In JC, that's when I got my first computer, so I was computer gaming all the time. When I look back at my life, I realized that basically I was constantly distracted. And what I would do is, as long as I can, you know, just get by, scrape through in life, that's all I was aiming for. That was my younger days. And so if I look back at my life, if I were truly to measure against the wisdom of the Chinese proverbs that my father has put into my heart, I realized that even though in life maybe I wasn't always picking the sweet, but definitely I wasn't taking any bitterness. Even though the proverbs were still in my heart, but they were also being crowded out by all the distractions of a youthful life. But as I think back, I'm thankful for who I am today. Really, really, is by the grace of God. It was God who called me into full-time ministry. And I think in full-time ministry, for the first time, I finally understood the wisdom of the Chinese proverbs that my father put into me. For the first time, the proverbs became wisdom. The first love of my heart, I understood them as wisdom. I could get wisdom, get understanding. Actually, as I look back, I learned it from my fellow pastoral team. I slowly appreciated the sweetness that comes from the bitterness, which is putting hard work into learning the scriptures, putting hard work into ministry, and putting hard work into managing human relationships. the sweetness that comes from the bitterness, I finally get it. And now that I look back at my days of youth, quite often I wish, if only if I've guarded my heart well, if only, I've done the same in my younger days. Sometimes I regretted what I do. And now that I finally get at least the wisdom and the understanding of these two proverbs, what I need to do now is to continue to guard my heart and, make sure that I don't take, for example, the easy way out in my work and not to be easily distracted by trivialities. And when I had children, I make sure that, this is good, this is wisdom. I make sure that I put this wisdom first into their hearts as well, because I want them to have this goodness as well. Put them into your hearts. Now, I started really young with my child, so I didn't use any of these Chinese proverbs with them. I didn't tell them, "Xian ku hou tian, zhi de ku zhong ku, fang wei ren shang ren." I didn't do this with my own children because they were still young, and I don't know if they understand bitterness. Anyway, so I made up one in which I think they could understand. So my proverb for them was, I told them, do what you need to do before you do what you want to do. That is my version of Xian Ku Hou Tian. You can ask my children. Okay? Do what you need to do before you do what you want to do. For example, maybe they should finish their homework first before they, play with their toys. My simplified version of Xian Ku Hou Tian. Who knows, maybe one day my personalized version of this proverb might become one day their own wisdom and maybe something that they will pass on to future Wong generations. So, brothers and sisters, what is in your heart right now? What do you have in your heart? Because as we talk about, how to put wisdom into the hearts of your children or your grandchildren or whoever that you're mentoring or shepherding the next generation in your scenarios, you know that first you need to examine your own heart, isn't it? Is your heart full of wisdom, just like the Proverbs? Or is it just loads of the ways of the world? What is in your heart? Because you know you can only give what is in your heart, right? So I think it calls for self-reflection. What is in your heart? And the church will help you with this self-reflection. In the next few months, the church will be going through many different aspects of life using Proverbs. And if you join a cell group, the cell groups will be discussing the Proverbs through the perspective of virtues and vices. I hope that you spend this time to really do this heart checkup. What is in your heart? And I hope really you start journaling. Use a journal to really note down the good Proverbs, the Proverbs that you say, yes, this is wisdom. I've jotted down a few. I try, as I was listening to Wan Ling sermon, I said, that proverb is good. I think this is something that we should start, at least for this year. As I was going through the cell group materials, I also noted down quite a few good proverbs. I hope that you use this golden opportunity to really put some good things into your heart. Now, you must understand that, the Bible is so big, we do not get to preach on proverbs. In fact, now that I recall, the last one was more than 10 years ago. So really, take this year as a golden opportunity to really jot down some good things, good wisdom for life. Look at your own heart and put some good things into your own heart after you clear out all the trash. I'm sure there are many in many of our hearts. And if your heart needs a lot of renovation, sometimes after looking at your heart, you say, "Tum, my heart is quite gone case, needs a gut renovation." I hope you do not get disheartened. Transformation is possible. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that will transform our hearts and renew our hearts. We can change our hearts. Just as how it's never too late to renovate our own heart, it's also never too late to really reach out to the younger generation. I know that as we reflect on this, as we reflect on, you know, what is in the hearts of our children, sometimes you might feel quite regretful. Why? Because as you look at the hearts of your children, you think, my goodness, what have I done in my life? All I've put into them is bitterness, resentment, maybe it's materialism, maybe it's all sorts of things, the ways of the world. If you have regretted what you have done, then I will say all the more so, it is not too late. It is not too late. Why? Because the first step of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. If you have been listening to the sermons, Proverbs 1, 2, 3, 4, and suddenly you have this fear of the Lord, you've realized, oh dear, what is in my heart? What is in the hearts of my children? If you suddenly have this fear of the Lord, that's good. That is the first step of wisdom. It is not too late for you. It is not too late for your children. The first step of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And as long as we are willing to submit ourselves to God's will, we can repair what is broken. We can repair ourselves. We can repair the hearts of our children. The work of repairing, bringing order into chaos, bringing abundance into emptiness, bringing light into darkness, that is the work of creation. This is what our God do. This is what is the work of the Holy Spirit. We can do it. It is not too late. It is okay even to admit that you have no biblical wisdom right now. You can admit it. I'll admit it. As I was reading through Proverbs, I realized, hey, I don't have any. It's good. Let's start from here. It is okay to admit that you have no biblical wisdom to share right now, as long as you vow to do something about it today. Start today and say, I'm going to put some good wisdom into my heart. Then I'm going to share it with the next generation. Because like it or not, if you are not doing anything about the younger generation, if you are not doing anything, then the world naturally becomes their influencer. Through social media, through unfiltered life experiences, you are letting the world put things in the heart of your children. What is going to end up in their hearts? So I have this idea, I don't know, maybe you can try this. Maybe you can start a family project. I thought about this when I went to Elder Yochi Lip's house, or you can think of it as Wei Zhen's father's house, okay? And in Elder Yochi Lip's house, there is a Yang Jia Bao Xun. So this Zili Zhang Lao say is written by his grandfather, okay? He said that his grandfather was not too well educated, so his grandfather actually asked a pastor to write for him. Okay, but don't ask me to write for you. You write your own. Okay. Anyway, so he actually wrote down this thing called the Yang Jia Bao Xun. Okay, so basically, it's something that is passed down from generation to generation, and something that I was thinking maybe this is a family project that you can consider, you know, something that you can write for your own family, telling your next child, hey, this passed from my father, now I pass them to you, and maybe you can start your own, maybe like a family project, all right? And what you can do is throughout this year, we'll be talking about Proverbs, and every week in the bulletin, we'll put down some good Proverbs based on different topics. And I hope that really you can pick and choose, you know, some of the most inspiring proverbs to you, put them into a collection, make it like a family project, a family craft, all right? This is from now on my Wang Jia Bao Xun, Yao Jia Bao Xun, or something like that, you know? And maybe it can be a collection of family biblical wisdom to pass down from generation to generation, something that you can consider. Lastly, I want to also ask that you pray for our children ministry. If you have heard what and understood what I'm saying today, our job in the children ministry is not just to teach content, but really to teach understanding. It's not just details of Jesus' life, Jesus' words, because we put the Gospel of Mark as our cornerstone, but really to impart on how Jesus' words and deeds become the children's own wisdom of life. And if you pray for our children ministry, and if you feel moved by God to get involved in this ministry, I welcome you. All right? Look for any one of us, Sabrina, Dai Yun, Li Ying, or me, and say, yes, I want to get involved. And indeed, may God give us wisdom, give our children wisdom, to be a blessing to the Jubilee community and beyond. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you because of your love. You have spoken to us through instructions, teachings, laws, commandments, words of wisdom, Lord, because you want us to all live a fulfilling life. We want to pray for the next generation in Jubilee Church. We want to pray that, Lord, with wisdom, they may be a blessing to all around us. Help us, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's respond to the word of God with offering.